Welcome to Nightlights. He's one of the most popular jazz artists of the past 60 years. He's made the cover of Time magazine, toured the world on behalf of the U.S. State Department, and recorded a breakthrough album that sold millions of copies and brought modern jazz into the living rooms of many listeners at the dawn of the 1960s. When he started out, though, pianist Dave Brubeck was a West Coast jazz pioneer leading a small ensemble that blended classical elements and jazz, achieving a sound that bordered on Third Stream and the avant-garde. We'll be listening to that group and Brubeck's 1950 piano trio as well. I'm David Brent Johnson, inviting you to join me for Playland at the Beach, Dave Brubeck's early octet and trio, coming up next on Nightlights.
Thank you.
The Dave Brubeck Trio doing Indiana, recorded in 1950 from the CD 24 Classic Original Recordings. And before that, the Dave Brubeck Octet in 1948 doing I Hear a Rhapsody from the CD Dave Brubeck Octet. Chances are you've heard Dave Brubeck before, even if you're not a jazz fan. His 1959 album Time Out has sold over 1 million copies, and Take Five, written by longtime Brubeck collaborator and saxophonist Paul Desmond, was a hit single and became a cultural musical staple. Brubeck made the cover of Time magazine in 1954 and did global tours for the U.S. State Department during the Cold War. But at the start of his career in the late 1940s, he was pursuing experimental sounds with a group of like-minded youthful colleagues, and the recordings they made are among the most interesting of his entire career. Dave Brubeck was born in Concord, California on December 6, 1920, and grew up on his family's ranch, studying piano with his mother. He never really learned to read music, in part because of a childhood vision problem, but he managed to get through College of the Pacific's music studies program without this hindrance being discovered until his senior year. After serving in Europe during World War II, Brubeck went to Mills College in California on the GI Bill, where he studied with classical composer Darius Milhaud. Brubeck and several other Milhaud protégés formed an ensemble that we now know as the Octet. West Coast jazz expert Ted Joya cites this group for its early third-stream approach, writing that the strong melodic material of popular song is wedded to the broad harmonic palette of classical music, the resulting hybrid drenched in that irrepressible rhythmic vocabulary that only comes from jazz. Here's the group performing Dave Brubeck's arrangement of The Way You Look Tonight on Nightlights. Dave Brubeck Octet performing What Is This Thing Called Love and The Way You Look Tonight. Before that, from the CD The Dave Brubeck Octet, recorded in the late 1940s. The Brubeck Octet is often compared to Miles Davis's Birth of the Cool Project, which had a strong impact on 1950s West Coast jazz artists. And while the recording dates for Brubeck's group are a bit hard to pin down, it's clear that its sound was fully realized by the time the Davis records began to appear, and that the two groups sounded alike primarily in their determination to transcend the fast-forming cliches of bebop. Jazz historian Alan Lowe touts the Brubeck Octet as a little-known jazz milestone. The recordings they made between 1946 and 1950 are something of a retrospective shock and revelation, sharply organized and musically substantial, running bebop through a spider's web of harmonic twist and turns and delivering it, in a modest but effective way, to a new, if very non-threatening and radical for its time, California fringe. Lowe also singles out Octet member David Van Crete's writing for praise. David Van Crete, an early musical running mate of Brubeck during the pianist bohemian days, when he lived in a basement apartment known as the Bomb Shelter. Here are two Van Crete compositions performed by the Octet, beginning with Prelude on Nightlights.
Thank you.
Fugue on Bop Themes, a David Van Crete composition performed by the Dave Brubeck Octet, and before that, Van Crete's Prelude, both from the CD The Dave Brubeck Octet. In addition to David Van Crete, Brubeck himself and clarinetist Bill Smith wrote for the octet, and we'll hear some of their music in the next set. Though the octet had a hard time finding paid gigs, they blazed a trail for Brubeck's later groups in one way by giving free concerts on California college campuses. Playing a kind of third stream music, doing jazz goes to college performances, the Brubeck Octet in the late 1940s was clearly ahead of its time. Using counterpoint, expanded harmonies, and jazz rhythms, it created a compelling music of swirling density and shows us that one of America's most popular jazz artists came out of a modernist classical background. Here's the Dave Brubeck Octet doing Brubeck's Playland at the Beach on Nightlights.
Thank you.
The Dave Brubeck Octet performing two compositions by clarinetist Bill Smith, Schizophrenic Scherzo, and before that, Ipka. And we started off with the octet doing Dave Brubeck's composition Playland at the Beach and closing theme Curtain Music, which is one of the earliest known recordings of a Brubeck-led group. I'll have more of the early music of Dave Brubeck in just a few moments. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, offering new and used music, DVDs, turntables, and more. Located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, and 100% fruit smoothies made with locally grown and organic ingredients on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. I'm David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to Playland at the Beach, Dave Brubeck's early octet and trio on Nightlights. I'm playing the early music of Dave Brubeck on this edition of Nightlights. You can hear a previous Nightlights program, Jazz Impressions of Brubeck, all about the pianist's Cold War era State Department tours, on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Saxophonist Paul Desmond was a member of the Brubeck Octet that formed at Mills College, and he would eventually become the most significant musical partner of Brubeck's career. But after the octet began to fade away from a lack of paying gigs, he made off with members of a smaller Brubeck combo, then hired Brubeck back as a sideman at a lower rate of pay. Soon after that, he ditched Brubeck altogether, leaving the struggling young pianist unemployed and with a wife and two children. Brubeck finally landed a gig that required him and his family to live in a windowless shack made of corrugated iron. As Ted Gioia relates in his History of West Coast Jazz, influential California DJ Jimmy Lyons, who'd been a fan of the Brubeck Octet, came to Dave Brubeck's rescue with a trio gig offer in Oakland. Working with bassist Ron Crotty and vibist drummer Cal Jader, Brubeck began to gain a following, moving across the bay to the Blackhawk Jazz Club, and the trio's first recordings, made for the small Coronet label, garnered much airplay from Jimmy Lyons and eventual good sales. They were also artistically fresh and vital. Gioia writes that it was almost as if Brubeck deliberately selected familiar, at times even banal, melodies to make his bold restructurings of the compositions all the more discernible. Many of his devices would become standard Brubeck fare in later years, but in 1949, few jazz fans were conversant with compositional techniques such as polytonality, unexpected modulations from major to minor, and rumbling, dissonant block chords. We'll hear almost all of that first trio session, starting with Laura on Nightlights.
Thank you.
the Dave Brubeck Trio performing Tea for Two, Blue Moon before that, and Laura at the start of the set. Brubeck backed by Ron Crotty on bass and Cal Jader on drums from the CD 24 Classic Original Recordings. Those sides, made for the small Coronet label in 1949, were eventually purchased by and helped to launch Fantasy Records, which would build itself in part on Brubeck's early success and go on to see big sales in the 1960s with pianist Vince Guaraldi and the rock group Creedence Clearwater Revival. And they exemplify jazz historian Alan Lowe's statement that Brubeck's early trios represent subtle rejections of bebop orthodoxy and sound surprisingly fresh. He was working in the language, but managing with subtle twists and surprising turns to defy expectations. Brubeck's early piano playing also won praise from an unlikely source, future avant-garde piano icon Cecil Taylor, who saw Brubeck in New York City in 1951 and later said, "I was very impressed with the depth and texture of his harmony, which had more notes in it than anyone else's that I had ever heard. It also had a rhythmical movement that I found exciting." Cecil Taylor digging Dave Brubeck? Who knew? Here's more of the early Dave Brubeck Trio doing Undecided on Nightlights. Thank you. Fats Waller and Clarence Williams' Squeeze Me, performed by the Dave Brubeck Trio with Ron Crotty on bass and Cal Jader on vibes, from the CD 24 Classic Originals. From the same CD, we heard the trio doing Charlie Shavers and Sid Robbins' Undecided. After the Brubeck Trio began to take off, Paul Desmond, now out in New York City, heard them on the radio and began to realize that he'd made a mistake in ditching Dave Brubeck. He went back to San Francisco and began an intense lobbying effort to play with Brubeck again, but the pianist at first wanted nothing to do with him. The trio was doing quite nicely. Who needed Paul Desmond? Here's more of their music, starting with You Stepped Out of a Dream, a recording Ted Gioia cites for its ballad tempo shift from 4-4 to 6-8 time, a device that he notes would become popularized in later years by, among others, McCoy Tyner of the classic John Coltrane Quartet. Here's the Dave Brubeck Trio again on Nightlights. The Dave Brubeck Trio performing Nacio Herb Brown and Arthur Freed's Singin' in the Rain, and before that, Brown and Gus Kahn's You Stepped Out of a Dream, with Ron Crotty on bass and Cal Jader playing bongos on the first song and drums on the second. A freak 1951 swimming accident in Hawaii nearly cost Dave Brubeck his life when he dove into a wave and hit a sandbar beneath it head first. Doctors feared he might never walk or play the piano again. Although he did, painful effects lingered for years. As historian Ted Gioia points out, the mishap demanded an adaptation in Brubeck's playing, forcing him to make greater use of his block chord style and less of the fast single note lines so common among his peers. In the immediate aftermath of the accident, the trio was forced to disband. Brubeck, remaining in traction in a hospital, wrote to Paul Desmond and suggested that they form a quartet once Brubeck was able to play again. And so jazz history unfolded. I'll close out this edition of Nightlights with an early version of the Dave Brubeck Quartet, which would rise to great heights of popularity shortly after this 1951 broadcast from the Surf Club in Hollywood. Dave Brubeck cites it as evidence that the group's music was not necessarily always cool jazz. But the song title seems appropriate, too, in light of the swimming accident that helped bring about the Brubeck Quartet. Here's Look for the Silver Lining on Nightlights. I closed with the Dave Brubeck Quartet doing Look for the Silver Lining from the Brubeck Collection, Time Signatures. Thanks for tuning in this edition of Nightlights. Production support for Nightlights comes from Landlocked Music CDs and Vinyl, offering new and used music, DVDs, turntables, and more. Located at 202 North Walnut in Bloomington or online at landlockedmusic.com. And from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee House, offering San Francisco-style burritos, coffee drinks, and 100% fruit smoothies made with locally grown and organic ingredients on the corner of Kirkwood and Grant in Bloomington, Indiana. You can listen to other Nightlights programs and view playlists, jazz, news, and commentaries on our website at indianapublicmedia.org/nightlights. Nightlights is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Christina Kuzmich, executive producer. This is David Brent Johnson, wishing you good listening for the week ahead.